worship your God. Let's sing it out together. Bless the Lord now. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Bless the Lord now. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never now. Sing like never before. No, my soul. Music is playing, brothers and sisters, can appreciate the Lord this evening. Can we just thank Him for His love and His mercy and His grace? We're going to be in so many other places, brother, sister, young men and lady. Oh, we thank God for the privilege we can come to that His feet and hear His word this evening. Oh, we love You, Father. We appreciate You. We give You all the praise, the glory, the honor. Truly, there is none like You, O God. We lift Your name on high, Father. Oh, we thank You for the opportunity to be found in Your presence, Father. Oh, we thank You for all that You've done in our lives, O God. Thank You for Your blessings, Father. We thank You for the benefits that are living with us. Oh, we are grateful this evening. Oh, worship Your holy name, Father. Praise the wonderful name.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. No, my soul. Worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name.
And every eye closed this evening. We thank God for the privilege that we can be found in His presence. We thank God that we could call upon His holy name. Amen. This evening, ask our dear brother Chris Sullivan to come forward and open this meeting with a word of prayer. Brother Chris Sullivan from Eagle Faith Tabernacle.
Good evening. Let us bow our hearts. Gracious Heavenly Father, possessor of heaven and earth, King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Father God, Your children are gathered together this evening by Your grace, partakers of this end time gospel, this great gospel, Father, and we come rejoicing tonight from all over the globe, Lord. You purpose to have a bride in this hour, and here she stands, Father. Proof that You keep Your word, and Your prophet brought us a message, Lord, and that You gave him, but You sent a ministry in the end time, Father, to bring forth that supernatural element, Lord, and we thank You for Your dear Son, and we thank You for the prophet messenger. Thank You for a fivefold ministry, Lord. God called, God trained, born again ministers, Lord, to teach the flock. You said, Thou lovest me, feed my sheep, O Lord. And I see healthy sheep tonight, Lord. Oh, we're like calves in a stall, O God. And we stand free tonight, free from creeds and dogma, the traditions of man. Free from Baal worship, Lord. You said that in the end time there would be a people that would know their God. Oh, and we stand tonight, Lord, testifying that this is life eternal, to know Thee and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. So we just ask Your blessings tonight upon the Word as it comes forward. Our beloved pastor and apostle, Brother Tony, and Brother Louis, and all of the ministers here. There's no great I's or little U's. It's all one, Father. And we have different positions, oh God, but it's Your family, Lord. And you love Your children, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that each one here tonight can see that it's Your love. It's not anything that we've done, Lord. It's not something that we can merit, but it's unmerited favor tonight. And we stand, Lord, rejoicing in Your goodness that we are one of them. Nothing we've done, but we're separated people, a hedge people, a people under headship. And Lord, we just get carried away in ourselves, just the magnitude of this moment, this hour, Lord, to be gathered, to be here, this great opportunity, Lord, feeding upon something the world knows nothing of. What an honor. It humbles us, oh God. And we just ask Your blessings upon the Word as it comes forward, the speaker, anoint the speaker and the hearer, as we commune around Your Word. You say, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. And we come with open hearts, and we invite You into our midst, Lord, to have the preeminence, Father. And let the sun shine on the sea. Let life come forward, Lord. And may Your people, may every yoke be broken tonight, every heavy burden lifted. And as we rejoice in Your goodness tonight and is over these next couple of days, we'll be sure to give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen.
I give You the name of our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate the Lord this evening. I want to welcome each and every one of you. I trust that you've enjoyed your meal. Amen. We're going to sing a few songs, and then after we're going to listen to the Word. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing Your praises. And I'm so glad You're in our lives. Put your hands together. Lord, I lift Your name on high.
Your grace is great. Amen. You appreciate the word of the Lord. Amen. I've got my mind made up and I won't turn back. I've got my mind made up and I won't turn back. Jesus, someday I've got my mind made up and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up now. I've got my mind made up. There's no turning back. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. This evening we're going to take up the offerings and we're going to thank God for the offerings and also thank God for His servant this evening. And also, dear Pastor Dennis Lee, to come forward and pray for us this time.
Shall we bow head in prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace once again. Lord, we thank thee for being here in your presence. Lord, you're here in our midst already, Father. We pray that you will bless the tithes and the offering, Lord. Blessed for your glory and your praise, for the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember the other part of the service, Lord. Our hearts will prepare and hunger, Father, for your word. We ask that you move in a mighty way, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may enjoy the comfort of your seats. And as we take up the offerings, we have a song item. Our dear Brother Pinkston. Our dear Brother Pinkston will come forward and as we sing his song, and we'll take up the offerings.
Thank you.
the influence.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Pinkston. Thank you very much. Amen. This time I want to welcome our dear Pastor Louis Govindraj. Okay, we'll sing one chorus and thereafter, Pastor Louis, we'll hand over to him. The anchor holds. Though the ship is better, the anchor holds.
Take your seats this afternoon. You may take your seats. I greet you in the name of our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The convention 2016 is here, and our theme is the doctrine of Christ. We want to extend our warmest welcome to our apostle and pastor, Anthony Gurula. Let's give the Lord a hand. Sister Jill and his daughter Anna Jean, if they could stand. All our pastors, elders, you could stand. We honor you and thank you for joining us at Convention 2016. To our unseen guests who will be watching these meetings via live streaming or through the recordings from the different parts of the world, we understand that your circumstances and your responsibilities could not permit you and your family to be present with us. We want to extend to you and your family also a special welcome, and we trust that through these recordings, you too will enjoy the inspiration and the anointing that comes of these meetings. These four-day meetings has been planned exclusively for a group of believers who knows their God and know who Jesus is. The believers that have come have spent their resources their time and their energy to be present at these meetings. Let us embrace these precious moments that we have with each other. Let us make memory, as this is our family who we will spend eternity with. The meetings might seem drawn out in terms of time, but it's an investment that will have a high return in the months that will follow. We will be hearing believers from the different assemblies and countries that will be worshiping and blessing God with songs and testimonies. And let us encourage them and amening the word and thanking God, our Father, for sending us such a ministry. As the prophet of God also so renewed his vow and commitment to this cause, I also ask you to join us in renewing our commitment. We must do all we can to find the bride of Jesus Christ. For this alone is a reason why we've been raised up and were given gifts, that we may knit ourselves as one hand, one fist, having one goal. To the many that have traveled, and some of our believers are still on the way, some of them will be flying late tonight, so you'll meet them tomorrow. Tomorrow morning at 9:30, there will be a ministers and elders meeting. We have moved the venue to Hotel 64 because we, for some reason or the other, we have a electrical problem that we need to attend to. Our elder Heinrich and Brother Terence will be our program coordinator for these meetings. And without much ado, we will hand over to our dear Brother Hein, who is going to lead us with our theme song, The Hour of Enlightenment. As our apostle and Pastor Tony Gurulal, who we've been awaiting for, and we stand here with much abated breaths to hear what God has laid upon his heart. Shall we all stand together as Brother Heinrich will introduce the theme song, Hour of Enlightenment, as we all join together as our apostle make his way to the podium.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be our God. Blessed be Him who has caused us to be gathered together, united under one head, united under the great shout of Jehovah Eagle, under vindicated prophet messenger, a great mighty angel, anointing a mighty angel to anoint angels on the earth that would anoint a people and influence us back to where we come from. Where we hear that cry from great Jehovah Eagle, we recognize where we come from, recognize who we are. And Father, this is the evidence that we have responded tonight. That we see here gathered stars, different magnitudes, pastors, evangelists, teachers, Lord, many potential, even apostles, Lord, gathered here. These stars that have not fallen. These stars that have kept their estate. These stars who reflect only the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, we are so thankful for them tonight. We are thankful, Lord, that we have one heart and one mind and one soul. Lord, and not to make a reputation. Lord, but to magnify Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. We pray Your blessings upon these proceedings. We pray, O God, for the local church who was burdened. And Lord, the laborers that have labored. And the people who have prayed. And the sacrifices that were made. Lord, that You would, Lord, like David so rightly said, I will not give unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. Lord, may You richly bless them, reward them, Father. From the least to the greatest, Lord, may the blessings reach just as the anointed oil that fell upon Aaron's head and flowed all the way through to the body, Lord. May the blessing so fall. May the anointing so fall. As it fell upon William Branham, Father. As it fell upon the head in type. As it fell upon the capstone ministry, Lord. May it so fall as it fell on the Son of Man. And loosen the Holy Spirit to come and flow through us one more time, Father. Once more, that we can see the strength and the power of the living God come back as we feel the fivefold ministry. Feel that covenant that was lost. That locks that have grown back. In the time when the eyes are not here, Father. Once more, the power of God in the hands of Your servants. May it come now, Father. May it break the yokes. May it destroy the enemy. May it bring down to the ground, Father. And may Jesus Christ, Jehovah of the all. And we are not talking about the Son. We are talking about the Father tonight. We are talking about great Jehovah. Jehovah Elohim. The discerner of the thoughts. The only healer. The only true God. May Your name be praised. May You get glory and honor. And Lord, may You be, Your name be blessed. May Your wisdom, Father, oh, be admired. How You hid Yourself and revealed it to such as we are gathered here today, Lord. The humble, the rejected, the oddballs. Lord, the ones who are just one in a million. The ones who they try to make us ashamed of Thee, oh Lord. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be our God who has given us the victory in Christ Jesus. Lord, I commit everyone and everything from the least to the greatest. Lord, for the angels that are here to anoint us, to the ministering spirits, to the soldiers of God, to the ushers, to the deacons, may the wisdom of God fall upon us, and may the Holy Spirit renew us, refresh us, empower us, that we leave here different men, different women. May our young people be saved, Lord. May they catch a quickening power. May, O Lord, that which we were taught be purged from us, and let the new wine be poured in the new vessels, O God, and may it be able to stretch, amen, and be able to, Lord, create that which is needful to take us and, Lord, translate us in this hour. Bless these few words. Bless the testimonies of their experiences with the word, Lord, of your elders. Bless, Lord, the reports of the progress of the different churches in the different parts of the world, Father. Bless these men whose responsibility is grave, Lord, who must fight their way to have a bride of Jesus Christ. May you, Lord, once and again renew the seriousness of our commission and the seriousness of the hour. And may our vision be clear, not like Saul, who was distracted, unprepared, but may we be like David, in the midst of all, behave ourselves wisely tonight. Oh God, that is what we desire, to be wise servants in your hands now, Father. We commit it all in your great hands now, Lord, from the local pastor to the foreigners, to everyone, Lord, in Jesus' name. Are you happy tonight? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know if I start to greet, I will not stop. Because there are some really wonderful people in our midst tonight. There are men in here who I will trust my life with. Men of integrity. And I'm just humbled to be in their presence. You've heard me so many times talk about the negative. Well, I'm glad to be in the midst of the positive tonight. Amen. Very nice. So, I'm going to leave the greetings. I think we have them. Maybe Brother Hein and Brother Louis will read them out and we all will get to meet you. But I have about an hour. That's what I have, an hour. So, I'm going to speak fast and you've got to listen quickly. And just as a way of introduction, and then we are going to follow the program as you see fit there, as the Lord would lead us. Amen? I just want to read a portion of scripture. My thought today is, after the book is open, they sang a new song. Amen? All right. Revelation chapter 21st verse, and a little strange way to take it, but I'm just going to summarize tonight just a little bit. I'm not going to hit the high point. I can preach probably 5 months on this and not be able to touch it, but we're just going to hit the high points, all right? Amen. Are we going to put them up? Revelation chapter 3:20-21. I almost didn't get into my clothes today. I spent a few days with Brother Lambert and his wife. I tell you, I ate and I ate and I was tired of eating. And then it made me eat again. But, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. I will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may leave the 20th verse up. Those of you who have been fellowshipping with me and myself with you knows that there are three poles written in Revelation 3:20. We also know that there are two pronouns, there are two subject, two person, two nouns that are introduced in Revelation chapter 3 from the 14th verse. And the first one is the angel of the church of Laodicea. We know that that angel is Brother Branham. We also know that he is the angel of Revelation 14:9. That brings the warning, do not worship the beast, the image of the beast, or to receive the mark of the beast. And for us not to worship the beast, it means that the beast has been revealed and exposed. Is that right? And the beast is that Roman church. And we know that her daughters is nothing more than her reproduced in a different form. So to worship the beast and the image of the beast of Revelation 14 and 9, not to worship them, you need a prophet, you need a messenger that came to reveal to us who not to worship, but he must also reveal to us who to worship. Is that right? So this last angel has to deal with true worship. Because God desires a people to worship him in spirit and in truth. In fact, the very purpose you were created was to worship. If he was satisfied with the worship of angels and with the fellowship of angels, we will not be here. But God was not satisfied just with the worship of angels. He wanted of his own kind. He wanted of his own loins. He wanted his own children. And worship is not what you have to do. Worship is a result of who you are. And where you come from. Worship is not something we are trained in theological school, in music school to do. Worship to the bride is like breathing. It's like breathing. It's like blood that circulates through our bodies. It is our very nature, our very makeup. You do it, but many a times because worship is not defined properly, we don't know how much you are worshippers. The word worship comes from the English word, means worth. Worth means having a value. That which has a value, a worth. And that which has a value and that which has a worth takes three things. If you really, really value it, if it really has value, it takes time, it takes thought, and it takes energy. And if you put time, thought, and energy, the amount of time, the amount of thought, and the amount of energy, it tells you, amen, what you are worshipping. It tells you who are you worshipping. Amen. I always say, my people, because we are all each other's people, is a people that is some of the hardest working people I know. They come to church and they spend 2.5 hours and 3 hours on those chairs, on those pews. It takes time. Is that right? Sometimes they are there and sometimes they are not there. But they took time to come there. Come there. Energy to it. That is their worship. Because they work a day. And yet they come to church faithfully. Sit to the Lord. Their post of duty. Amen. To be there. To be their authorities. That is part of my life. This is the sole theme of my life. The prime theme of my life. My wife and I. Not to talk about myself, a true servant doesn't speak of himself. But we are examples one to another. When we first came in, the message decided that our life, the message was not going to fit, but we are going to fit ourselves into the message life. We built our life around the message on a church. They will respect us, put it, and want us to put it off another day. If not, we are not there. Send a testimony that this is what we are raised up for. And if nobody's going to be there but just us, we are going to be there. That's worship. But like I said, you can never stop speaking of it. I just want to take an aspect of it. I want to take an aspect of worship as pertaining to the opening of the seals and the new book. I want to show you a part of our worship that we need. If we have the revelation and we are growing in revelation, then we must be growing in worship. Amen. We must be growing in music. We must be growing in songs. We must be growing and maturing. Because after the preaching is over, the worship will not be over. Amen. When my job is over, when your jobs are over, brother, amen, the worshipper's job has just begun. Amen. Because that's what we were raised up for. Amen. To worship. Amen. I hope that Brother Louis, we saved some money, child. Because I see some friends from Zimbabwe from a long, long way. Amen. Might be a little cold, Bunny Chow, but Brother James is still Bunny Chow. I want you to notice there are three poles here. I stand at a door knock. The knocking is to get your attention. That's the first two poles, the Son of Man in power. If any man hear my voice, that's the voice that's behind the sign. And you know that it's the evening time. It's supper time. When the servant singular goes out in the evening time. Is that right? And he commands them to come in. The lame, the halt, the blind. We know that's the healing campaign that goes out. And still there were room. We know that not only is this the supper time, but this scripture came into fulfillment in 1964, showing that the Son of Man was put on the outside on March 1964, showing that he was rejected. On Good Friday, he said, when was the last time there was an earthquake? He said, a Good Friday, when he was rejected. Son of Man officially, scripturally, be placed on the outside, March 1964. We know the inspiration of judgment from that point on begin to change. We know the investigation judgment from 1946 to 1963 had gone forth. We know that evidence was being gathered. Even Brother Branham using the evidence of what Billy Graham said, what Oral Roberts says about how he was in England, how the people were behaving in the park, how just not everyone will have to carry a gun. He was using those men angels' testimony to build up the case of the hour that we're living in. And then from that investigation judgment in 1963, he never preached it except 63. He brought an indictment. Indictment for the second crucifixion. Is that right? And then from the moment of the indictment, he begins to prepare the bride, amen, by revealing to her the seventh seal, which he said was a secret, was a mystery. When he came to Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, you see, I want to reveal to you something that God had in the back part of his mind, something he had never revealed. He said, the seventh seal. He said it was locked up in a threefold mystery. And then he began to show you that it was such a mystery that the first part of the mystery was the Godhead. The mystery of God in Christ. And that was not at the Jordan. That was from the very moment he created the blood cell in the womb of Mary. That God, that was the beginning of the creation of God. God become intangible. He is telling you that was a mystery. And the first message that we have on the tapes is the deity of Jesus Christ. Amen? The deity of Jesus Christ. And here we are tonight speaking about, amen, the doctrine of Christ and about worship. And we didn't plan this. It's in December, it's Christmas time, and in that message, Brother Bam said, we are not worshiping a baby in a manger. Right. We are worshiping the deity of God in His Son. Amen. Praise God. We didn't plan that. But I believe the Holy Spirit tonight, with all the battles that happened with Sister Michelle and her family, stranded in Trinidad. Brother, my uncle's son, Elder in Maryland, stranded 2 days in France. Brother Lambert and us, late in the night, we can't sleep. They are my people, they are like my children. Yes. Amen. Praying. And every time, he'll tell you the story probably, every time we hear news, they become more impossible. Every time we think there's hope, they end up bringing back no hope. But I know in my heart that I can't love them more than God loves them. Amen. Amen. When a father comes to the end of everything that he can do, when a man has come to the end of doing everything he can for his family, his loved ones. There's only one comfort he has, that he cannot love them as God could love them. Amen. He cannot love them the way that his father loved them. That's the only comfort we have. And then to say, that is when we are finished, now come the specialist who specialize in the impossible. And here he is today, sitting there. With all impossibilities for him to be here, there he sits. Ain't God good? The inspiration moving to prepare a bride. Telling you the three purpose under that seventh seal. And watch carefully. The purpose of the seventh seal is hid in all the other seals. Because in the book only has three purposes. The entire book only has three purposes. The entire Bible only has three things in God's mind. To reveal and become tangible and make himself known. And then take that species and multiply it in a family. And then set a kingdom. A world, a cosmos of his own order. That's the entire Bible right there. The threefold purpose. They said, is the seventh seal open? It's not open. It opened in part. After he get the bride focus on what the real mystery of it is. Then you gotta start to preach the second fold part of the mystery in two folds. One, the first fold part is the token. And the second fold part is a token. I can't hear you.
Amen.
The token looks for a token.
Amen.
That's two folds right there. And then he shows you in a future home how he redeems the man. How he redeems the earth.
Amen.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Yes.
The one Lord is a threefold mystery. Amen. The one Lord is to reveal the Lord.
Amen.
Is that right? And from him he reveals many lords which are sons of God.
Yeah.
One faith. He brings you the faith in the Son of God, the principal theme of the Bible. Then he brings you the faith of God, the Son speaking through the stars in seven church ages, the faith of Christ. And that now is for you to get to see that God, you could trust God at his word. God keeps his word until he brings you to the perfect faith. Which is God believing and trusting your word.
Amen.
He only wants to teach you God keeps his word in the faith of Christ. So that you could be like your father.
Amen.
And God could have faith in your word. Whatever you say, son.
Amen.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Baptism is a threefold mystery.
Amen.
Water baptism puts you into the local fellowship.
Yes.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost places you in Christ. Nobody could do that.
Yes.
Only God could do that.
Yes.
Is that right? And the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, which changes your heavens and earth.
Yes.
New body.
Yes.
He begins to set the whole threefold purpose is lined up in all the message from 63 to 65.
Amen.
Things that are to be, your ought to be condition.
Amen.
Showing you the mystery that we had it backwards. People still preaching, the way I look is the way I will look over there. That's a lie. The way I look over there, God designed the gene to make this look like what is over there.
Right.
Amen. That is not being conformed to this. This is being conformed to that. Amen. I exist there. Amen. This is a negative. But the which comes first? The positive. Showing you the mystery, things that ought to be, your future home. Setting up the threefold purpose. But the ultimate goal, after the threefold purpose has come to its fullness, the one thing that remains is worship. When your job is over, when my job is over, that is not over. Therefore, I believe it's important for us to look. I want you to notice, when Brother Bram first went out on the field, he took David and Goliath. That was his first pull. But his theme was David and Goliath. He, being David, is going out to meet the unbelieving Goliath against believing in miracles, believing in healing, divine healing. He met a giant called Dr. Bess. Is that right? But who got the victory? He was never defeated. God never let him lose a battle. Never was defeated. But I want you to notice something. That between these two verses, here, him being put out, 1964, on Good Friday, and from that moment on, the inspiration began to change. He became, come and preach, ashamed of him. His inspiration began to change. He wants to preach on the seven trumpets. He wants to preach on the seven vials. His inspiration is changing. Rising of the sun, turn the picture. Sir. You'll see the judge up here. Sir. Invisible union, the judge is speaking. You are the sinless, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then he's condemning America. Right. He said, I refuse to pray for America. Can you imagine? A prophet saying, I refuse to pray for America. But days of long suffering had come to an end. In 1965, you'll accept or reject the gospel this year. From 56 all the way to 64 is the time of long suffering. But she will not repent. Now he said, I refuse to pray for her. It means it's done, it's finished, there's no more hope. She's gone. And between these two verses, there's a mystery here. Because this is David being rejected. He's put on the outside. He's being put on the outside. The prophet preached a message, deceived church by the world. He said, Father, the Lord of glory has come down. Amen. And the people don't recognize it. Amen. Who is the God of glory? Glory. Almighty God has come down, King eternal, King immortal. And the people don't recognize it. He said, Lord, this is the work of the devil. He said, but wait until that little crop, the one who is hungering and thirsting, wait until that little crop recognize and understand the hidden power of who is in our midst. There's a group of people that, see, like I told you. Jezebel found the secret of the power to the church. She found the secret of the power to the church. She found that it was a covenant made between the gifts of God and God. And that covenant was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if she can get the ministers to go to school and seminaries, amen, and inherit their pulpit from their daddy, and allow the people to vote them for their popularity, bypassing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen. Then you'll have a powerless church. That's right, that's right. But wait until a crop comes up. Amen. And begin to question the first generation birth. Where did you get your birth from? Who was the light that the seed come through? Yes. Show me the member of the body that got it. Amen. Amen. It caused them to tremble, brother. Amen. Amen. It caused them to tremble. Amen. Because a new crop. It's coming back and they want the covenant of God. They want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To bring the power back in the church. Once more, Lord. That we can destroy this enemy. Between the 20th and 21st verse. The Son of Man. Showing that he was the true anointed one. Is put on the outside. The true king. Like David. Like David is put on the outside, haunted by denominational Saul. Everywhere he goes, David, Saul is hunting him. Why? Because of jealousy. Because of popularity. But before he's rejected, Saul wanted him. Saul knew he can lift spirits of infirmities. He had the power to deliver from the devil. Amen. He had power to pray for kings and be delivered. He had power, amen, to destroy many of Philistines. Amen. He was mighty, his name. And then the people began to say, look at William Branham meeting. Look at William Branham meeting. And when Saul heard that, spirit of jealousy come upon him. Amen. Begin to haunt him in every church. Don't close the door. Don't let that man come in. Close the door. Then he said, Lord, Father, I know there's only one door open to me. The Lord said, what is that to me? Follow down me. Amen. He's on the outside. No place to hide. No place to preach. No place to do nothing. But in that time, at the time he's rejected, he picks up, amen, some Gentile ministers. Some Gentile warriors. Amen. Men who knew that that man was anointed. They knew that man could win battles. They knew that man could deliver. Amen. They knew there was something different about that man. And they stuck with him in loyalty, in faith, in belief. Why? Because they know after his rejection that he was the truly anointed ministry. True ministers, anointed of God, that one day will share his throne. After the rejection, there's a mystery of a class of people, a class of ministers, a class of warriors. Amen. That no, they will share his throne. Because they believe he was a truly anointed one. Truly anointed word. Look at him. Look at him. Look at this ministry. After he's rejected, he goes and picks up from... He has no place. He's rejected. They're ashamed to identify with him. Guess what? And they are afraid to identify with him. Even the temple, even the priests, afraid to identify. Will that help him? Because what Saul will do to them from Cape Town. How you'll cut them off? Right? Or let us make the phone calls. Amen. Kill all the priests that help him. I can't hear you. Amen. That's the spirit. Amen. This is the spirit that we are working with in a time of rejection. Because you had to go through that rejection too. Because when the Son of Man leaves, he didn't leave. Even though he left, he loosened the Holy Spirit. That was upon him will come upon a many-membered body ministry. From a one man to a many-member. But it's the same anointing with the same purpose. It's the continuation of a work that we have to do. He can only do it from a one-man perspective. Now there's no more one man. There is a body work. After he's rejected, look at it. He was the true anointed one. While he was rejected, he was training an army who believed in him. They believed in him. They'll follow him. They'll defend him. They'll protect him. They believed in that ministry. And he prepared them. And they became mighty Gentile warriors. I don't have to go into it. I can tell I can preach a whole month, 5 months on this. But I'm just hitting the high points. Watch carefully. You're smart enough to catch it. I want you to notice that Saul spent all his time trying to make sure David have no refuge. That's right, yeah. No bread, yeah. No temple, no Urim Thummim, yeah. No haven in the temple, no, he can't go nowhere to preach. He can't go nowhere. Everything is shut up. The whole kingdom. He sent any man that helped David. He's dead. I tell you, brothers, you are right in the word image. Amen. You are right in the word image. Amen. We are going to tell you who to fellowship with. Right? And we are going to tell you. And if you do, it's a big punishment. Spiritual death for you. Ministry suicide. He spent all his time, all his energy, all his efforts. Amen. After the man who was to be the great deliverer of Israel. And while he is so focused, he did not see the enemy planning a massive invasion of the United States. The denominational soul never saw He never saw a plan of the invasion of the United States. And when the invasion did come, they never took the warning of David. And while they are unprepared, David is preparing an army. And while it's invaded, the prophet is watching. He's seen the invasion. Saul don't see it. And then from the invasion, it moved to occupation. And the angel and the prophet is telling him, look, 200 million demons after the invasion is going to come and occupy the ecclesiastic realm. They don't see it. All he could see is David becoming popular. Hey, David have a movement now, you know. It's in Durban, it's in Cape Town, it's in Philippines. Yeah, that's all he could see. Unprepared. Before he prepared his army, before he prepared the nation, amen, he spent all his time looking for David. When the enemy did come, the nation was unprepared, and he was unprepared. And listen, a demon spirit came upon him. From the minute he disobeyed Samuel, an evil spirit came upon him because he was no longer God's chosen. I want to tell you, the first generation, when they reject these truths, when they reject these quotes of the prophet, these teaching of the prophet, an evil spirit comes upon them and they become jealous of the ones who follow it. Amen. That same spirit from the nomination comes in the first generation ministers. To cut them off, not knowing if 200 million demon is anointing them, because it's no longer invasion, it's occupation.
That's right. Yes.
And it's no longer just occupation, it's re-education.
Right.
Instead of being transformed by the renewing of their mind, they are being renewed deeper in sin.
Yes.
Amen. Instead of being transformed, they are being deformed. And not even know it. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
Yes.
So what does have to do with worship? Give me a minute. Give me a minute. Because it is David's order of worship that we are going to worship. David is the one who set the order of worship.
Yeah.
David is the one who called Shananiah and Asaphah and the sons of Asaphah and trained them.
Yeah.
Set them in order.
Yeah.
There was no worship in the seven church ages. The Catholic Church took that away. I can't hear you.
Amen.
And how can you sing the Lord's song down in Babylon? Is that right? How can I sing the Lord's song down in Babylon? And then when Luther came out, he sang a little song. Wesley sang about the blood. Is that right? Pentecost sung about the joys of the Lord. Amen. But yet that was still not the worship God wanted. He interceded, even the songs and them were not actually true to the word.
Amen. That's right.
But if I'm saying not the blood, it's the life that's in the blood.
Amen.
It's not the chemistry of the blood, it's the life that was in the blood.
Yes.
Amen. It was not, there would be no faith in Christ. The Bible wrote it all about faith in Christ. Amen. But it says, through him that your faith might be in God.
Amen.
Amen. It's not faith in Christ. Amen. That only leads you to faith in God. Because it is the Lamb that reveals the true Lamb.
Amen.
It is the Redeemer that reveals the true Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Who is the true Redeemer? Almighty God. Who is the true Kinsman Redeemer? Who's closer to you, your father or your brother? Tell me it again, brother. Thank you. One more time. Thank you, brother. David. He never got caught. He never got anointed with his 200 million demons. He was never caught unprepared. His armies were always prepared. He never lost any battle. He was never trapped. Even though there was a trap set for him. In the beginning of the Pentecostal ministry, Pentecostal Saul set a little trap for David. And wanted him to marry Saul's daughter. Micah. Is that right? Because marriage means unity. Amen. He'll do what we want. We can conform him. But I want you to know that marriage never worked. Amen. That union with Brother Branham and the Pentecostal. Amen. He was never with them. It seemed like he was with them. Amen. But he was a man born out of season. And she never reproduced. She was never able to reproduce. Because when David saw the word coming back and he got in the stimulation of the revelation, she despised him in his heart, in her heart. And she never produced. She was a woman barren, which is a cursed woman. She never was able to reproduce. She never reproduced that. And it's while David was rejected, denominational Saul, looking for him everywhere. At that time of that rejection, he went and found Abigail. He found Abigail, a type of the elect woman. Amen. A woman who had a husband. How she married him, nobody knows. Nabal, as his name is, so is he. How did she ever marry him? It was a shotgun wedding. Amen. You didn't have a choice. You were born with that old husband. But from the minute she received the messengers of David, true messengers, amen, she stopped yielding to him. She stopped yielding to him, the old husband. And after she stopped yielding, she brought fruits of repentance. When David came down, she had figs and cakes and fruits of repentance. And when she went back home, he was dead like a stone. The old nature was dead and free to marry the king. And by status was promoted, amen, from a landlady, from a farmer's wife, from a businessman to a queen. Because there's only two ways to get to the throne according to God. It's by marriage or by being born a son of God. Amen. It elevates you from a servant to a king. It puts you on the throne. It changes your status. From a servant girl to the son, to the wife of the son of the armor company. Marriage changes your status. It changes your name. It changes, amen, the way that people address you, see you. You're no longer this. You are Mrs. This. Change her status. She was no longer Mrs. Nabal. She was Queen of Israel. I want you to notice this little high point, just to show you between these two, there's a mystery. And that mystery between those two, after he is rejected, it was the Gentile warriors. Now I want you to notice again that David desired, like God desired, like Adam desired, because he was lonely. God desired to be worshipped, to have fellowship. Is that right? Adam didn't just get lonely. Who do you think? You mean the God who made the perfect man was still lacking something? God put that in there to show you his heart. That's something he wanted. Something he desired. Something he thirsts for. And Adam thirsts for a certain thing. Adam, God put all the female animals to come through Adam, by Adam. And nothing caught Adam's eye. Nothing could satisfy. Sisters, you better wait. When you see all the boys in the church ugly, still wait. Don't hurry the choice because, well, I got to settle for him otherwise, you know. God have somebody. Amen. That was a mystery hiding. God just wanted to see what kind of desire Adam had to show you that when it looked impossible, you say he's a good boy, but his foot is too big. Don't settle for the big foot. Wait. God have a mystery waiting there for you. Amen. And when God saw that this son of mine, nothing else would satisfy him but his own species, Amen. Of his own kind. Flesh of his flesh. Yes. Listen, believers. Believers like him. Amen. Made and born from the same one. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do you understand the difference between Message Believers and Message Lodge?
Yes.
Well, Message Lodge is not of the same kind.
Amen.
They're not of the same kind. Adam held that. He was lonely. The same way like David had a thirst. David thirsted for a drink of the water that was from Bethlehem. He wanted something from Bethlehem. Is that right? That's where the king was born. That's where the best grain was in Bethlehem. That's where the best water was in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of God's bread. God's bread was Jesus Christ. That's the best bread you could eat from heaven. That's the best living waters you can drink. Amen. He wanted a drink from the well of Bethlehem.
Amen.
Do you know the prophet of God said Bethlehem, that the bride is Bethlehem? Because by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are the house of God's bread.
Amen.
I can't hear you. Amen. You are little Bethlehem. Amen. You is where the little king will come forth.
Amen.
You is where the king will reign.
Amen.
You have the best grain, the best water that will come forth outside of the city. You will come inside of the city. You want to go back to him? What does he want from you? And it was some Gentile warriors. Between the throne and his rejection. That went to fill that thirst. That thirst that he had in him. A thirst from a drink from Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is you. And God is thirsting from you, something. He wants worship. He wants fellowship. Not from the angels. He wants it from you.
Amen.
Amen. Let us just do it this way. Worship, praise, and worship. Seems like simple. Let's look at it. I'm going to cut it because I want to do this. In apostolic order, if it's true apostolic order, one church don't do something different from the other church.
Right.
There are no two different ways of looking at the word.
Amen.
In the message, Daniel 70 weeks, Brother Branham says, making comment, because he's always out on the field. He said, you know, I was meditating on the scriptures in my office, in the back room. And he said, came to me that I want to read a psalm. He said, that is the way we used to do it in this church. He said, I don't know if we do it still. Who is the best author of setting the age in order? Prophet Messenger? And he said, that is what we used to do. Why did it stop? Why did it stop? In our order of church, we should have someone read. And you read with him. Either read the first verse and you follow to read the second verse. Then you both read the last verse together. That's the way Brother Branham did it. We normally have Brother Chris come and read a scripture and give a short exhortation. An exhortation, not a rebuke, not a correction. Something to edify, lift up, build up, focus on the blessings, on the goodness, on the strengths, on the promises, on who you are, who he is, what he has done for us. To exhort means to encourage. First, you read the Psalms. Then you give a little exhortation. That prepares the people's mind. Then the song leader come. And then he starts. That's the way it should be done. That's the way the elders should do it. Because this is not, apostle don't have, he can't set in order that which was not brought by the prophet messenger. Whatever he set must be already in the word, but overlooked. Or it's been done without a purpose. They haven't caught the revelation of it. The word is always before everything. I can't hear you. The word is always before everything. Amen. You do not go and pray and then read the word. You read the word and pray. I can't hear you. You read the word and pray. That man everywhere would stand and pray. Alright? Men everywhere were to stand and pray. Now you go back in the Bible and see what they were to stand and pray for. To stand and pray because you're in the presence of God. Amen. You're in standing and praying because that is the word. I can't hear you. If that is the word set in order, that men everywhere ought to stand and lift holy hands unto the Lord. Amen. That is the word. Then they are doing it and they are going to pray. Amen. Obedience to the word. Then you pray. Amen. You read your Bible and you pray. Amen. You want to love the Lord more? Read your Bible and pray. Amen. Right? Because to pray means to bow your will or to check your will to the will of God. Amen. You say, brother, I have a need and I'm going to pray. You better go and find out if your need is legit. Amen. You better make sure that your will, your motive is right. Your objective is right. And that it is the right. You're asking for the right thing. Even though it's all right. But you're asking the right time. The right season. So everything is pray. You better read your Bible and pray. Now people say every time something happens, I'm going to pray. Well, sometimes you don't need to pray because the answer is already in the book. Everything you have need of is in the message. Now, if you can't find it, you go and you pray. Now, you say, now when you are praying, you are looking to God to send it down. And God say, but what you need is in the message. And you're looking here because I pray and God should do something. And God is saying, look at this. Go look there. I'll anoint your eyes. Go look there. Go ask him. Anointed him. Part of the book is flesh already. Part of it is not known, but it mightn't come to yet, but part is there. Ask him. It's going so spiritual. I'm going to pray, boy. Read the book. Read the book. Because if you pray outside the will of God, I miss. And if you are looking to God to answer your prayer like this, then God left out something in the book. It's everything you need in the word. Yes. There's rapturing faith lies in the books and tapes. Yes. Well, then you have to pray, Lord, anoint my eyes to see. Yes. Lord, anoint my eyes to know. Yes. Lord, anoint my eyes to receive what's in there. Because whatever I need, he already made provision for in his word. Yes. Unless you see him different from him. He never gave me him. He gave me him. So it's important that the order be someone come, ask the people to stand and read the Psalms. Let the people read it, then bless the name of the Lord in the last verse. Exhortation, call the song leader up. Start singing the song. Daniel 70 weeks, go back and find it. Second, praise. This one was from China, Brother Lou. Praise, I'm only teasing. Praise is broken up into two folds. One is thanksgiving. And thanksgiving cannot be reproduced. You can't train to be a thanksgiver. You can't study to be a thanksgiver. You can't make up your mind to be thankful. You know, after Brother Louis gives you a good little washing, by the washing of the water, by the word, you know what that is, right? It's a spank. And it really hurts you. And you know your wife watching at you because she know you got it. There's only two things you could do when you're going in the car. Justify yourself. By Louis O'Connell, you know. Then she don't know what to do. If she's an obedient wife, she'll say, yes, honey. Whatever you say, honey. If you see it so, honey. However you feel about it, honey. Well, what do you think? Well, I'd rather that be between me and the priest. You know that kind of thing, sisters? Oh, your husband never got hit? Come on, you know that. You know the silent treatment in the car? Yeah. You haven't been there? You haven't been to real church. In real church, somebody gets hit.
Amen.
Because somebody got washed.
Yes.
Somebody got turned around.
Yes.
Repent means to turn around. And when they're going in the car, they don't say, honey, that was for me. I really needed that. Thank God I got you corrected. You keep quiet because no chastisement seems pleasant. So you have to tell the truth, honey. If they're feeling good, but I guess it's for me. Thank God for correcting. He said he loves you.
Amen.
Thanksgiving, you can't practice for that. The only way that you can give thanks, giving thanks means God has given you grace. You cannot give thanks if God has not given you grace. Because what produces a thankful heart is when you have needs, which nobody wants. Nobody needs. Nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants to have fear. Nobody wants to have anxiety. Nobody wants children trouble. Nobody wants daughters trouble. Nobody wants husband trouble. Nobody wants wife trouble. Nobody wants no trouble. In fact, nobody don't want to have any needs. Is that right? Everybody working hard, 80 hours a week, not to have a need, but they come in the church, Lord, we need you. Isn't that right? You don't want to have needs. In fact, you are afraid to get trials. You're afraid to get trials. You're afraid to get troubles. You're afraid to be rejected. You're afraid to be despised. In fact, everything that's good for you, you don't want. Isn't that true? That's because we don't know what's good for us. Isn't that right? And that's what your children tell you. Mommy, everything you're doing, I don't want. Everything you're saying, I don't agree with. And you're telling them, but it's good for you. I know what's good for you. You're doing the same thing as a grown-up, the children is telling you. Needs, this little word here?
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you, that's just one word we run from. I don't want to be poor, so nobody can bring me to shame. I don't want to be poor, so I don't have to ask anybody. I don't want to be poor. I want to be able to live with the best. That's what I want to avoid. But this word here is the only way that you can produce a thankful heart. Because when you have a need, a real genuine need, and it cannot be met by anyone, and that's why God gives you things that no man could satisfy, no man could do, no man could bring it to pass. Because when your needs are met, brother, you are satisfied. You're satisfied. When you're satisfied, you're content. You're happy. And when you know that no one can do it, it is God, the impossible happen, then that makes you grateful.
Amen.
It makes you what?
Grateful.
And what? Thankful. It is from a thankful heart based on a first-hand experience that God is good to me.
Amen.
That's why you must come into his house with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. Amen. You come in him, come into him because you are convinced, amen, that in your life he has met your needs and he will continue to meet your needs. When you come into church, you think you come in to sing songs. Not knowing that what you are doing is your experience. is because of your experience of what He has, your experience with Him, His goodness, His mercy. Amen. Amen. That's why the others are not coming. That's why you're coming. You're coming first of all to acknowledge that God is. Why? Because I know He met my needs. I know He has done something for me that no one else could do. I am convinced that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you are coming to church and you don't have a grateful heart, you're like, church again, I wonder who preaching, boy. Me and still on Joe on the ash heap again. It's because you forgot that coming to church is a privilege.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God don't call everybody. I can't hear you.
Amen.
I'm talking about church and I'm talking about lodge.
Amen.
Amen. And God don't have many watering holes.
Amen.
I know they want to tell you in a message. In Durban there are 50 watering holes. In Zimbabwe there may be 50. But God don't have many watering holes.
Yes, right.
Amen. Because God's gift is one in a million.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's only one William Branham.
Yes,
amen. I know you think after 1 million Branham, there's a zillion pastors and a zillion message church. No, there are many more of the bondswoman than that of the free woman. Amen. And if you don't believe that, look where you were. Look what you were believing. Look where you were worshiping, thinking that was a watering hole. That was a broken cistern. He just put a pump to make it look like it fresh. He put a pump in the cistern. Amen. But once the electric go, the water is back dead, stink again. Amen. Watch carefully now. I just want to spend a little bit of time on this because, amen, one of the most lacking thing there is worship. You say we sing songs for 20 minutes and 30 minutes, really? Worship is a participation. See? I have an old man, old preacher friend of mine. He said you can either participate, you can be a what do you say? You can sit on the seat there and be a spectator. You know it, brother? You could be a spectator or you could be a participator. If you're American, you're there to be entertained. I want to see how he moves his hands. That's what it's come down to. Amen. That's what it come down to. It does come down. Let me get this over with, yes? But it will not be so with the bride. The bride, from the minute she is bride, every aspect of God's word, God's coming to church, fellowshipping, everything have the right attitude. Because without the right mental attitude, you get nothing from God. Amen. The worship don't start with a song leader. The worship starts with the worshippers.
Yes.
Hallelujah. With the expectation.
Yes.
With being washed on the outside before they come in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And they come there, amen, with your minds focused on Him.
Yes.
That's what the 20 minutes was before the service. To get your mind on the most important thing, the most important one.
Yes.
Because you all think God, you're doing God a favor. I just took me there. That is why you don't get nothing like you should. Let me take some time and do a little work. Just a little work. You mind? Watch carefully now. How can you have a thankful heart? A thankful heart is a result of a grateful heart. And a grateful heart is a heart that has been softened because of the kindness of someone. By the kindness of our Lord. The kindness, the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of the Lord have appeared unto you. Because God wants to produce certain circumstances. When God wants to teach you something, God, He designed everything.
Yes,
He wanted to teach Brother Branham a lesson on Mark 11:23.
Yeah, sure
he wanted to teach him a lesson because the prophet says, You know, he was doing the same thing denomination did. They said, Brother Branham, Mark 16:16, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said that was for the early apostles, that's not for today. That was only for the apostles. Then when it comes to Mark 11:23, he said, if a minister asked me about that, he said, I'll tell them that was something only for the apostles before the atonement. I can't hear you. But then the Lord wanted to teach him about, if you say to this mountain, and you know what the Lord did? The Lord created a circumstance. A circumstance, no squirrel. He chose the day. He chose the time. He chose the season. He chose the place. God chose everything necessary to teach him that lesson. And he chose the kind of man to, because you know, he says, squirrels don't come from sycamore tree. He said, I want one coming from that sycamore tree. Bam! From the sycamore tree. He wanted God to teach him that. He produced everything he needed. And for you to produce a grateful heart. Yes. Amen. God had to put you first in them lodges. You know the message? God had to make you Baal worshipper. Trying, you were doing God a service outside of his will. Amen. You are a Baal worshipper. You are worshiping creation and not the creator. God had you, amen, so self-righteous. We are bright, we are called. Look at the denomination, harlot, not knowing you was a harlot. I can't hear you. Amen. And then he bring you to that condition. My pastor, my pastor not too deep, you know. But he's a good man, a nice man. You talk about a kind man. He don't know much. Go to the dentist and say he's a good man, a kind man. You don't know much about dentistry and open your mouth. He had to put you in those the message lodges and then one day, open your eyes. Open your eyes. And then he had to make you try your own little thing. Like Brother James, yeah, I got wisdom. Smart, I just move in there like a wise dove. They go come in. One in a million. But they go come in. Come in where? They come in into more sin. You gotta move like that. You gotta come to the recognition. And then what do you say? Boy, praise God. Where would I have been if not for the grace of God? Amen. Amen. Then you start looking all wrong and say, Brother, you mean we the only one believe this? Nah, we can't be the only one. There must be more. So you say, you know what? I'm going to talk to that church I come from. That church I come from. That church I come from. Every time you come back, you have a band-aid. And you went from hero to zero. Everybody you think would have followed you, listen to you. The pastor already prime already. You off, you know. An evil spirit take it. What happened? You got a spirit from India. Indian man. Following an Indian man. And that man, he had no Holy Ghost. He only talking about people not born again and ministers this and ministers that. Yeah. They don't. You know, Satan don't want you to talk about his ministers, you know. Satan wants you to be a cloak for evil. And say they are righteous while they are unrighteous. And let the people believe that they are men of God when they are killing you. Killing those people. The greatest mass murderers are ministers. Because they don't treat one patient. They just treat 100 patients at one time. So, that's how you wipe out a nation. That's how you wipe out. They try to wipe out bride. See? That's Pharaoh's strategy. Amen. Kill all the male. That means kill the ministry that carrying the seed. And then we could put our seed in them. You get that? That's how they do it. But I want you to notice something, friends. I don't want to go that far. I was supposed to just cut this really short, and I want to do it. If I can preach as short as I am, I'll be happy. Short people have complexes. You know what I mean? So just remember I have a complex. All right. So it produced a grateful heart. God chooses the circumstances to knock the pride out of us. Because we think that we could read the book and just study it and say, but that's so simple. The prophet, that's so simple. And you read in simple statement, God himself set a throne in your heart and lives in you. God himself dwells in our blood cell. And you believe in and preaching that, and it's sin. But what you mean, what you think that means is not what it is. That is how sin is, to believe the exact same thing and be in sin. So he produces a great, you can't produce a grateful heart with unless God does something for you to show you how helpless, hopeless. And when he begins to do that for you, he softens your heart, makes it grateful. Amen. Like where would we? Grateful heart starts off by asking, what has he done for you? What has he done for you? Has he bypassed all your family and message church to open your eyes? Amen. Does he do that?
Yes.
And then to make you remember it is grace, he make all of them hate you. I can't hear you.
Amen.
So that you never forget the grace of God. And you focusing on them hating you and missing the real message. It is by grace, son. It is not by looking and seeing and knowing. It is by grace. What he has done, what he is doing in your life now, what he promised to do, that is what you give thanks for. A thankful heart. I am thankful for the messenger of the age. Amen. Where would we be without him? I am thankful for the message of the hour. I'm thankful for born again ministers who are able to pass on life. I am thankful for pastors and for message churches who are true watering holes of God. For without them, there will not be a bride. I am thankful for the fivefold ministry, brother. Without them, there's no perfecting of the bride. I don't care how much prophet came. I don't care how much message come. Amen. If the next part of the relay is not a true fivefold, there is no bride.
Amen.
I am thankful for pastors. I'm thankful for the elders. I'm thankful for the musicians, the song leaders. I'm grateful for them.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the prophet who is a model. He's a model servant.
Amen.
Like Eliezer. Never talks about himself. You go around to read anything. Read any commentary. And many commentaries will tell you he's a model servant because he was faithful to his master. The commentaries themselves will tell you he never spoke of himself. He never did his will. He was faithful to the call and the commission. That's a model servant. He never gave up on the commission. He never stopped to take entertainment. They say, stop a little bit, stay a couple days, let her be with us. He said, suffer now, let me go. And when it produced a grateful heart, in the Old Testament, to give thanks is the word, comes from the word yada. It means to throw. You're throwing out everything that God has done for you. You're throwing it out in a boast. You're boasting. Thanksgiving is to boast. To boast in the Lord. To boast in the one that did for you the things that you couldn't do for yourself. The things that he did for you and he didn't do for others. The thing that changed, touched you. To give thanks. To boast on the Lord. When God do something for you, one of the things that people don't do is give thanks. To give thanks means to call people. Amen. And share with them what God has done for me. And when you do that, you're boasted. Brother, the Lord helped me to get this house. Lord, I never had a good car. The Lord helped me to get this car. Come, I'm having coffee at my house. Amen. The next car, if it's a Mercedes, I will buy you steak. We don't give thanks enough. Amen. You boast on the Lord. Amen. Then you're going to give him praise. Now, I'm skipping. Now to watch carefully now. Worship, I show you has three things. But the emphasis of worship is worship. You worship him for who he is.
Amen.
You give thanks and praise for what he has done. But worship is you're worshiping him who did these things. Here, you're boasting on his works. You're boasting on his grace. You're boasting on his mercy. You're boasting in the things that he has done for you.
Amen.
Here, you're boasting in the one who did them for you. who he is, who his son is. You're boasting. Amen. Now, I want you to notice now. Let us just take a little bit. How many is thankful for our fivefold ministry?
Yes, sir.
Are you really? Are you thankful?
Yes,
how thankful are you? Can you make a rapture without them?
No.
Can you be perfected without them?
No.
Can you read the message and the books and get it? Are they important?
Yes.
Did God give you these men?
Yes.
Then you should be grateful. Because the attitude you have towards these gifts is the attitude you have towards the giver.
Amen.
I am thankful for William Branham. But now in the hour I'm living in, I'm thankful for the fivefold. I'm thankful that that's the part that I must come to and recognize. Amen. Because my rewards come from here. This is what I'm looking to, this fivefold ministry.
Amen.
I'm grateful for them. I'm thankful for them. Under there, through these men, I'll get rapture in faith. Through these men, you'll bring me to maturity. You'll bring me to perfection. Through these men. Are you thankful for them? Do you give God thanks for them? Do you pray for the fivefold? Do you think there's a plenty fivefold everywhere? Do you think there are many born again fivefold? Do you believe there are many born again ministers? Then brother, there are very few. We ought to give God thanks. If you have one, if you're connected with one, that's the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. You must give thanks. You must thank him who gave gifts unto you. Because why did he give it? He know we need them. He need them, brother. Now I want you to notice again. These are the men. The things that we need. And when God gives us these things, it makes a grateful heart. And the first thing that we come in church, we want to give thanks. Therefore, brother, we need, listen carefully, we need songwriters. We need musicians. We need ministers of song. We need them so they can teach us songs of gratefulness, songs of thanksgiving, songs of praise. We need them. Amen. Because we sing the same old song over and over. And our revelation is growing, but our songs are not growing. The reason for that is because we don't see the emphasis of how important these ministries are. Oh, brother, we need men of God who are born again songwriters. Men who write song by the revelation of the hour. Men who sing the song, amen, with the revelation and inspiration of the hour. Amen, a song leader, a minister of song. Amen, people just look at him and say, you know, he's a song leader. He's a minister of song. He's the most important part of the service outside of the word. In fact, if he don't prepare the ground, the battle is hard to win. I can't hear you. Amen, without him, God don't come down. Amen, but through him, God come down to inhabit the praise of his people. Amen. He prepared the ground for the battle. He lifted up the morale of the army. Amen. The shout of God is not when the word is coming out. It's when the presence of God come down and begin to anoint them. They know they got the victory. Amen. Because what follows the song? Amen. It's to take the land, brother. He's a strong leader. So he feel unimportant. He just feel he come in there for 30 minutes. And if he just, no emphasis, he just, you know, I'm picking this one. I know this one. Yeah, that one. Amen. A song leader must be in the spirit.
Amen.
Together with the pastor.
Amen.
The spirit that is called anointing the pastor to study the word. Take him as an inspiration. You'll watch and see a song leader and a messenger. He say, I don't even know that man going to sing that song. What the prophet, wings of a snow white dove. The song lead, the man don't even know what he's singing. Here the prophet come and say, brother Ernie, amen, you sing two stanzas. I wrote one here. Amen, the minister of song, brother. That's what we need. What does the bride need? We have young ministers coming up. We have elders, we have veterans. But what do we need? We need ministers of songs. We need songwriters. We need spiritual musicians. We need it, brother. We need that songwriter to be born again. Amen. And we need that songwriter to take his ministry serious, to teach us new songs. Hallelujah. Amen. Every revival produced their songs. Their songs about redemption. Their songs are wrong about the blood. Amen. Their songs about the suffering of Christ. Amen. Their song about miracles and the joy of the Lord. Amen. There are many songs. There's songs to make you dance in the spirit. I can't hear you. Yeah, like you never dance. There's song that'll make you move your foot no matter how stiff you look. There's songs to move you in the spirit. There's songs to, amen, to make you cry. There's songs to make you choke and swallow. Amen. Songs that make you lift your hands. Amen. We have many songs. Amen. But in this hour, in the opening of the word, the Bible said they sang a new song. Oh, brother, they're singing a new song. This is the song, the hour of enlightenment. This is the day the book become open. This is the day we know our God. This is the day, listen, you're the little boy. This is the day of singing a song of yourself, of the little boy looking in the mirror. He waved it, waved back. Amen. He goes back, it goes back. Amen. He smiled, it smiled. And he come to the conclusion. Daddy, that's me. The day when the song show you who you are. When the songwriter and the song leader are in the spirit to reveal to you. Amen. This is about me who I'm singing about. The sinless virtuous bride. Amen. Talking about your journey of Zoe. Talking about your transition from terrestrial to celestial to immortality. Amen. Talking about your glory. Talking about, amen, who you are. Yes. Talking about the threefold mystery of the name. The name of my God. The name of the city of my God. Amen. And the name of the Son of God. All the same name for the threefold mystery. Who's going to sing about that, brother? Luther? You're going to raise Luther to sing about that? The threefold mystery of the name of God. Amen. Written in the temple of my God. And the temple is the bride. And 144 have a name of their father written on their forehead. And the serpent seed have a name written on his forehead. And the mark of the beast have a name written on their forehead. Who's going to sing about our name? All this thing about the name of our God. You see, because listen, friends, the song we singing, if everybody's singing it, something wrong. But you see, when you sing a new song, it's only the bride could sing those songs. You know, in Revelation 14, when it said, and the 144,000, they sang a new song, and only the 144,000 could sing that song, and no man could learn that song. Is that right? Well, when the bride sings her song in the hour of enlightenment with the principal theme of the age, who do you say this is? Who is this Melchizedek, the mighty God unveiled? When we sing our songs, amen, the bridal song, they can't learn them song. Amen. When we sing about Jehovah the Old is Jesus of the New, and we are not talking about the Son. We are talking about the Father. They can't sing that. That frightens them. Now, if we sing Jehovah, the Lord, Jesus, and you, they're singing that too. For the minute you put in there, we are not talking about the Son. We're talking about the Father. They can't go there. They can't learn that song. They're afraid to go there. Amen. That's not revealed to them. Only the bride could sing. Where are these songs, friends? Where are these new songs? Where is the group? When the book become open and they sang a new song. Where are the redeemed? Are you the redeemed? Yes. Does the 24 elders represent redeemed men? Yes. They represent redeemed men before the seal was open. But when the seal was open, they represent you. Where are the songs? Where are the new songs? Oh, brother, how we need anointed song leaders. Men who have a prayer life. Men who are praying during the day, even on their job, Lord, amen, put a song on my heart. Lord, who will take gifted men and women like Sister Grace and write poems, inspire them. You know the bride writes poems, yeah? I can't hear you. You know poems of the Lord, right? Amen. And write exhortations. Amen. Where are these songwriters? Lord, help to find our song leaders. Now watch very carefully. When you in the world, you going to dance, you doing the jig. You doing the hop and the scotch. Is that right? You doing the woogie, woogie, woogie. You doing all of that. You could well sing out there. Right? And you in Babylon. You were gifted and you were in Babylon. Look at the three wise men. They were wise, but they were in Babylon. If they were really wise, they wouldn't have been in Babylon. Look at these gifted men in Babylon. But from the minute they saw the star led those gifts from Babylon to find its place where the word was made flesh. And then to offer those gifts in service. Where are the song leaders from Babylon? Where are the songwriters from Babylon? Lord, help them to find their place, their position, how we need them. Amen. It's good to sing Luther's song, Wesley's song, that's okay. I know the prophet said some of the good old songs, you can't replace them. I understand that. But brother, where's our footsteps in the sands of time today? Where's our song? Where's our time? Where's our theme? Who is going to sing about our revelation? Who is going to give thanks and boast on the Lord? What He did today. Not at Calvary. But what He did today. Amen. What He is doing now to the fivefold. Yes. Amen. The present stage of the bride's ministry. Yes. The promise that has her under expectation. Father. Where is that, friend? You see, we have lowered and scorned the office of musicians. We don't give them they honor, they do them. That's a skill for the Lord. The first musician was God. The first songwriter is God. Amen. If you have a gift to write song, the giver of the gift is a better songwriter. He gave you that gift. Where are the songwriters? Where are the musicians? Where are the singers? People in church singing like this. Amen. They are church of one. With the volume of zero. I don't have much time. I've already passed. Did I pass an hour? Okay. I'm going to take this. We're going to the throne, brother. From the rejection to the throne. You know the whole story. You can build up. If you're a minister, you can build up the whole triples in there. The whole ministry in there. Now, I just hit this button and nothing happened, brother. Am I supposed to press this button? Yeah, okay, good. Just give me to put a couple of scriptures in. We have belittled an area that God raised us up for, which is to worship, to give Him thanks, and to praise Him. He's just a song leader. He's a minister of song. You know, my song leaders, the one that we have now holds in, he's a minister. But our two song leaders we had. Very good men. Troubles in the land. Song leaders are hard man to keep. Very hard people to keep. But we need them. My officers will tell you, you don't play with my song leader. You got something to say to him, you better tell me. Because I am the one who appoint a song leader. You didn't vote for him. You got a problem, you come to me. I hire him. Now the deacon, that is something different. You vote for him. But you see the musician? You didn't vote for him. That's an extension of my ministry. My song leader, that's an extension. You want to criticize? You better come to me. Because if I hear the whispers in there, I'm going to sing you a song and you ain't going to like the tune. Because that is where the enemy likes to discourage you. If they come this hard and not have to play, you know, go and play a game. And them people, they're so ungrateful. They don't appreciate it. You must appreciate the gifts. Amen. You must give it time to grow. Amen. The church must invest in teaching the young people how to play the piano. Pay half of the lesson, let the parents pay the other half. You got to nurture the gifts. You got to nurture the young people. Amen. It's a generation of born again believers and ministers and song leaders we are raising. It's got to start somewhere, brother. It's got to start somewhere, and we've got to begin. Let us invest. Let us invest in the elders who really are gifted, that can teach the others. Let us take our time. Let us take a Wednesday night just for singing and learning new songs. That's part of the word too. You don't have to have the preaching that night. But watch and see the immature one. Hey, they're going to sing, but I'll miss that service and I'll come Friday. Lock the door Friday. We need to invest. Where is God's gifts? Why is, you know, they ask why is there no balm in Gilead? Why ain't no real song leaders and gifts and songwriters popping up? Why? Because we don't encourage it. We don't see the importance of it. We don't magnify what God has given us. And many times those gifts are deep down buried, waiting to find their place. And I say, if there is a true star, you ministers, you saw the star, and you followed the star, the messenger, but you followed it, and you stopped at Herod. And Herod is a killer of the word. I can't hear you. And you stop and you fellowship and eat from Herod's table. And that man only waiting to kill the revelation of the word. He's a murderer of the word. And you stay there and then you got blinded. I can't hear you. But the minute the grace of God come upon you, and that star appears again, amen, that star will lead you to the word made flesh.
Amen.
And your gifts will find its place. Go back and read God. God's gift find its places. Go back and read. We've seen a star. And we have come to worship. Have you seen the star? Then we have come to worship. We have come to give our gifts and put them in service and ourselves in service for the word. We say we have a song leader. He's our song leader. No, brother. That's the Lord's song leader. That is a man who prepared the atmosphere and the people's heart for the word coming. But if he doesn't do a good job, the pastor has to do a harder job. The preacher has to do a harder job. And if he is supposed to teach you how to worship, you know, we like to sit down there, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He said, get up, let's stand, let's lift our hands. Let's clap our hands. Amen. Let us shout unto the Lord. Amen. Let us boast in the Lord. Amen. We have got so used to the American way. Praise God. We have been entertained. We are just sitting there. You did a good job tonight, boy. What about you? What kind of job you did? We need to shake up the church. We are not like them. We are not the lodges. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. And brother, we will have his mind. And we will have his order. And his gifts will find its places. Amen. That song leader is my song leader. Amen. That song leader knows. He has to get himself in prayer. He's singing these songs and I preach on something else. You know something wrong? I preach on this subject and he's singing about that subject. And the people don't know the difference and nothing sink. Yeah? He's speaking in tongues, 5 words a second. He's preaching 10 words. You know something wrong with the interpretation. Let's get our singer, songwriter in the harmony of the revelation, the harmony of the word. And let that which move you, you write about. That which stays with you. Some of you who are really gifted suffer from depression. Isn't that right? And suffer with moods. You suffer with crying. You suffer with pain. That is the time you write. Because that is the best time that you have words to express. That's what God gives you, to express your feelings. Because those feelings will end up being the revelation. Amen. That God wants to bring from you. Amen. I'm going to close up with these words here. First, that song leader needs to remind the people of what God has done for you, and he didn't do for the others. He needs to stir up your mind so that your grateful heart will come to the top before the worship. He needs to remind you of the grace of God, the works of God, the mercies of God. He needs to take you back to memorial stones of victories where the mighty conqueror had given you the victory. He needs to do that. Therefore, a song leader needs to talk. You hear a pastor and a song leader. I don't want you preaching because he exhorted and lifted. He needs that. He needs that liberty to do that. Now he starts to rebuke you and he says this, you know, hey, come here. But he needs that liberty. You're just singing song and not saying anything. Sometimes the right word could break a spirit in a whole congregation. Then you see, you find it immature now. The song leader come up, he's not going to have a good day every day, but he ought to try his best to be in the spirit of it. He come up here and he hit a bad key. And I'm not talking about this kind of key. He hit a bad key. And all he hit a bad key, everybody's silent. Like they don't know the song. You don't get silent. That is the time you pick up the key. That is the time you carry him on. Amen. That is what a mature, amen, Judah, people of praise do. Amen. They know that. So, what you messed up, boy. He only supposed to lead you. He's not supposed to sing for you. He lead you.
Amen.
You see how backslidden we are when it comes to worship? Are people who say the word is open? The people who say they know the order of worship.
Yes.
Look how backslidden we are. Look at our attitude.
Right.
Amen. From the minute you bounce in here, brother. Amen. We are going to have these things set up in such a way to remind us why we are here.
Amen.
All right. Everybody okay?
Amen.
That song leader, you need to be behind him. You need to participate. You need to help him. Because anytime the devil can get him depressed, anytime he can miss a note or a key or forget the words, amen, the devil say, ah, you see, no. That is when you experience bride, matured lady, the bride of Jesus Christ on the way to adoption, recognize, no way, this isn't going to happen. You pick up that tune. You pick up that song. Now watch carefully. It says, oh, brother Lee, maybe I used it. It says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. You think that's important? You think this thing that is important? Well, some people don't believe singing is important. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I am so glad he said that. Because my singing might be like noise, but brother, you're going to be joyful.
Amen.
A joyful noise unto the Lord. You don't have to have the best voice. All you have to do is have the right heart. Because God, amen, with the right heart, God hear the right note.
Amen,
with the wrong heart, he always hear the wrong note. Is it important we sing unto the Lord? I will praise the name of God with a song. Can you praise the name of the Lord with a song? And the song will have what he did, what he's doing, what He promised to do, what He has done for me. You could praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with what? How would you magnify with thanksgiving? I want to thank Him for what He did. He did this. He did this. He did this. He did this for me. He met my needs here. Amen. He was mindful of me. He was careful of me. He was watchful of me. He was protective of me. What about this? What about this? How much time we come to praise the name of the Lord with a song? Is it important? Are you sure? This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullocks that had horns and hoofs. Lord, I pray for this person, you know. Lord, I fasted, you know. Lord, Lord, today, look at me. I went the whole day and I didn't even see. Amen. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. This also shall please the Lord. Better than sacrifices. How important is it to sing? How important it is? How important is a song? Is it important?
Yes.
You sure?
Absolutely.
Amen. So when they ask you to sing a special, what happens? Boy, you know, I'm not ready. I don't feel anointed. Huh? But Terrence asked me to sing a song, boy. I work 8 hours today, you know. Huh? So when you have to sing, when you are requested, make yourself available. It's important. You see? The church. All right. Let's look at this here for you now. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all His wondrous works. Can you do that? The voice of thanksgiving? Testimonies? Lord, I have loved Thy habitation of Thy house and the place where Thy honor dwelleth. Is this place of honor in His church? Isn't it?
Yes.
Then I love the church. I love the church. I love the people of God. I love His ministers. I love them that love Him. I love His habitation. I admire them that obey Him. I honor them that honor Him. I'm grateful for them that teach me songs to praise Him and glorify Him. Oh, the songwriters. Do you love them? Do you appreciate them? Oh, His musicians. Amen. Oh, how I'm thankful of them that teach me songs of deliverance, songs of love, songs of redemption, and now songs of enlightenment, songs of revelation, songs of marriage, songs of communion, songs of adoption. Hear what it says? I have loved the habitation of Thy house. I love it. And the place where thine honor dwelleth, I love it. Wherever Thy honor dwelleth, if it dwelleth in this brother, I love it. I love him.
Amen.
Amen. Where God is honored. Amen. I will honor them that honor God. Amen. Them that hate Him, I hate.
Amen.
Because that's what the Bible said.
Amen.
You say, brother, that's in the Bible. That's in your Bible.
That's right.
Watch again. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto Him in psalms. Is that important?
Yes.
Amen. Are you approaching His presence? Are you coming into His presence?
Yes.
Then, brother, sister, I believe that this new year, our attitude about church and coming to church and the first 20 minutes and the song service, brother, if we go back to the same old, amen, something is wrong. Because I tell you the truth, if I was a CEO, I'd fire half of them. Get me a whole new board. Or send them for retraining.
Amen.
The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name.
Amen.
You see, when your needs are satisfied, you're happy, you're grateful, you're thankful. You say, I'm blessed.
Yes,
see, what follows after your needs are met? What follows? Joy, happiness, gratefulness, thanksgiving. And you want to repay the kindness of the Lord.
Amen.
You want to show you're grateful.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. If I give something to Brother John over there, and I give Brother John something, and And then he wanted, I had another need, and I also give him something. And he's with his friends. He talking about Tom, he talking about Dick, he talking about Harry, he talking about Trump, he talking about Hillary. Why not hearing my name? I would think he really not grateful. Maybe didn't mean that. But when I hear him say, "No, Brother Tony did this and Brother Tony did that," I tell you what, I really had a need. He pulled me out of a hole. Boy, I tell you, that's a good man, boy. What happened? I'm encouraged to give him more. Amen. When you boast on the Lord, you're opening the door for more.
Amen.
When you thank the Lord, you're opening the Lord for more. When you boast on his name and what he has done, you're opening the door to say, "Lord, I want to bless you more. The more you bless, the more I boast."
Amen.
You want the church to be blessed? Let me hear some boasting.
Amen.
Let me hear some thanksgiving.
Amen.
Let me hear some praises.
Amen.
Amen. If your revelation of the word is loud, then brother, your songs ought to be as loud as the revelation of your word, of your songs. Now watch carefully the Psalms. We could say it. But look, I sent his word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Watch what follows. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Oh, listen here. After he done these things, hear what David says. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Why do you want to praise him? For his wonderful works to the children of men. Let me tell you this. Look at the one in a million who you are. Brother, that's enough. You have enough days to praise him for that. Amen. Because there are better people than that out there. There are better men out there. Watch David again. He's setting it up. Showing you the order and how important it is. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break his bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Has he done these things for the bride? Oh, that the bride would praise him. Oh, that the bride would praise him.
Amen.
The bride church ought to be the noisiest church, not Pentecost.
Amen.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth the right way. Have you been led the right way? Or the denominational way? That they might go to a city of habitation, a new city, a city of God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Is that goodness? Oh, that man, the bride, will praise God for his goodness, his wonders to the children of men. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises with the harp. I offer to thee sacrifices of thanksgiving. I will call upon his name. Amen. Now watch. Why would you want? Look what Paul said. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Have you been enriched? Which calls it through us, thanksgiving to God. If you've been enriched, it causes that. It causes you to have thanksgiving to God. Now, two more. I hope I'll try to close it. There was no worship of songs and psalms and praise and worship in Moses' tabernacle. But if you read carefully the ministry, 1 Chronicles 15 and 16, you'll see David brings a new order of worship. But when David brought the order back, he never brought the seven candlesticks. He never brought the outer court and the inner court. David only brought the ark. And in the ark, David pitched a tent. Sounds familiar? Pitched a what? A third pole. Tent is third pole. And in that tent, the veil of the tent was made open. Sound familiar?
Yes.
And David set up Asaph and Shenaniah, songwriters and musicians, to sing 24 hours unto the Lord. And the only thing in there was the ark of the Lord.
Amen.
Now while they are worshipping 24/7, where the ark is, where the ark was made veiled, and unveiled with song and worship, at that very moment, that very place in Zion, They were also worshiping in Gibeah, where the outer court and the inner court is with the seven candles. That's where the denomination is. But where is your worship? Where the ark is. Where the word is. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, "Blessed be thou God of Israel, our Father forever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness of power and glory and victory. O thy kingdom, both riches and honor are thee, and thou reignest, and thy hand and its power and might. thy hand is to make great and strength. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But whom am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from thee, and thine own have we given thee. Of our own, our breath come from him. Our strength come from him. Our blessing come from him. What are we giving him that didn't come from him? The only thing is, we are grateful. We are thankful. We are strangers before thee and sojourners, as we are all our fathers. Our days on the earth is as a shadow, and there is nothing abiding. O Lord God, this store that we have prepared to build thee a house of thine own. I also know, my God, that thou triest the heart and pleasures in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are presented thee to offer willingly. I'm not going to read anymore. I just want to remind you, if you would read Nehemiah 12 chapter and the 13th chapter, to those of you, we have a dedication coming up on Sunday. And we have some renewal of vows. We have rededication of ministries and so forth. I want to tell you, look how important this is. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought, this is the restoration now, the Levites out of their place, to bring them to Jerusalem, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbal, with the psalms and the harps. And sons of singers gathered themselves together out of the plain country, round about Jerusalem, from the villages. Right. I want you to notice all the way through in the dedication how important that songs was. And the songwriters, the singers. Let me say, this new year coming, brother, let us try to be in closest order of COD as possible. Let us start what was in the prophet's heart. Let us get our song leaders in the spirit of worship. Let us train him. Let us give him the things that he needs. Let us honor and pray for him. Pray for the songwriters. Pray for the gifts. Let that song leader dedicate himself to learn and teach us new song. Not the same old, same old, same old. Even in our assembly, we need the song leader to learn new songs. And wait for the appropriate gift to come. To do the best that they can until the gifts come. We are waiting for pastors to rise up. We are waiting for the gifts to find their place. You say, Brother Tony, now after so many years, of being taught wrong, now a new crop is coming up. A born again crop. A church is being replaced and reset in order. And rededicated. Amen. In this hour we are living. Amen. And I hope to bring that tomorrow. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. We are going to call Brother Hine. I believe he's going to give us about 15 minutes to take a break. I know you're tired. We have a second part of the service. We probably might have to cut it to two. Two, but we want to give out. I'm sorry to take so much time. I apologize. I always do that. I don't know why I don't. But let me say, by God's grace, brother, sister, how many is longing to see a church, longing to see the bride, longing to see us empowered? Longing to walk into a church where the atmosphere is so milky, so cloudy by the Spirit of God that the minister cannot minister. And that the people, without a word, is just weeping in the Spirit of the Lord. and you don't have to say much because the Spirit of the Lord is working, that the thoughts of the Lord begins to permeate in the minds of the people. Brother, that is just beyond the mountain. All we need is a rededication, a recommitment, a refocus, and to get our brothers the channel of life. We can do great things if we are willing to be obedient. God bless you. God keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you. Give you much grace, Brother Hyman.
God bless you, believers, that you enjoy the word. Every bit of it. Is that not the truth? Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to, before I start or continue, where's Pastor Louis? Shall we take a 15-minute break quickly? Yeah. Let's just take a 15-minute break quickly and just stretch a little bit. And at exactly 15 minutes from now, what is the time now? 10:45. So exactly 11 o'clock, we make our way, maybe 2 minutes before the time, so that by 11 o'clock, then we can continue. Amen. God bless you. You may exit as the ushers show you the way.